Good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Vav Kama daf Hey. We left off daf Dalid Amud Beis, 11 lines up from the bottom. The second word on the line where it says Tani Rabbi Chia. Today's shir is sponsored by Dr. David Landerer in honor of his wife and children, and Lili Nishmas, his mother, Golda Basimcha Le'ashalom. Shout out to Dr. Landerer, who ran the marathon on Sunday and finished in just under 3 hours and 20 minutes, of course, in honor of his wife and kids, no doubt. They kept them going. Also sponsored by Daniel Sadian for the success of Klal Yisrael in these times. That's Lacha for our soldiers and captives. Sponsored by Josh and Michelle Prero, Lili Nishmas, the yahrzeit of Josh's father, Rabbi Yisrael Aryeh ben Rav Shmuel Tzvi Prero. The yahrzeit is being observed today. The neshama should have an aliyah. It's also sponsored anonymously for a refuah shleima for Amalia Shoshana Chaya Bas Karen Liat. She should have a refuah shleima v'soch shar choli Yisrael. We thank all of the sponsors very much for their sponsorship of the shir. So today we are going to cover really a single primary topic. We saw yesterday that there was a brisa of Rav Oshia, that even though we had learned in the Mishnah that there are four avos nezikin, so we're familiar with those. We've been discussing those over the past few days. It's shar, it's bar, it's mave, whatever mave is, either shein or adam. We saw that machlokas already a couple of days ago, and hever, and it's eish. Then we saw Rav Yoshi. Rav Yoshi had said, no, there aren't four of us Nezikin. There were 13 of us Nezikin. Today we're going to be introduced to the Braisa of Rabbi Chiyu, who says there are not four, there are not 13. Rather, there are 24 of us Nezikin. Yeah, we're going to explain what those 24 of us Nezikin are according to Rav Chiyu. We're going to explain why Rav Oshia didn't count the ones that Rav Chiyu counted, why our Mishnah didn't count the ones that Rav Oshia counted. And then we're going to explain how, if we call them avos, there have got to be toldos. So the question is, how exactly are there toldos to these avos, and why are certain things on the list of Rabbi Chiya, and why are certain things not on the list of Rabbi Chiya? So that's essentially going to be the entirety of the daf today. So again, Dalid Amud Beis, about 11 lines up from the bottom of the page. The first word on the line is dememela. And we are going to start with the second word on that line. So it says the Gemara as follows. So Tani Rabbi Chiya. So Rabbi Chiya learns as follows. So he has the following list. Esrim ba'arba avos nezikin. There are 24 avos nezikin. Not 4, not 13, but there are 24. What are they? There are tashlume kefel. There is tashlume kefel. That's what a ganav has to pay if he is in fact caught and found to have stolen an item. V'tashlume arba v'chamisha. And then there's tashlume arba v'chamisha. That's if ganav steals an animal and is tavach u'machar, if he shechts the animal or if he sells the animal, he has to pay 4 or 5 times the amount of the animal, depending on whether he stole a small livestock or a large livestock. V'ganav v'gazlan. And we also have a ganav and a gazlan. Now here the ganav and the gazlan are people who admit to stealing the item themselves, because we had just said that one of the things on the list is tashlume kefel, which is what the ganav pays. So yeah, it's true. Tashlume kefel is what the ganav pays, points out Rashi, only if the ganav is caught red-handed. But if the ganav presents himself and says that he admits that he stole the item, then he is going to have to make restitution. He's only going to have to pay for the value of the item. Rashi points out the reason that he only has to pay the value of the item and not kefel is because kefel is a knas. It's a knas because it's called a penalty, and we'll see this theme coming throughout the shir today. But whenever you make restitution for the value of the damage that you did, that's called mamon. Whenever you are paying in excess of the damage that you caused, that's going to be called knas. So there's a halacha that moda beknas pater, that if you're moda that you owe a knas, you're going to be pater for paying the knas. That's why if a ganav pays kefel, if he's caught red-handed, when he is modeh that he stole something, he doesn't have to pay the kefel, because kefel's a knas, and the halach is that modeh b'knas pater. So he's only going to pay for the value of what he stole. Gazlan, Rashi points out, the Torah says, Veshav es hagzeila asher gazal. The Torah says, mefurish, that you have to make restitution for what you stole. Okay, so those are going to be four things on the list. Again, Tashlumi Kefal, Tashlumi Arba Pachamisha, Ganav Gazlan is 4, Edim Zomimim is 5. So Edim Zomimim is where there are there are witnesses who come into court and they testify as to a certain matter, and then other witnesses come into court and say, you guys couldn't have testified that you saw this because you were somewhere else. For some reason, when I was learning in yeshiva, the Eidim Zomer were always in Chicago when it happened that they were supposed to, right? They were always in Chicago, exactly. And see how that works out. The Eidim Zomer was always in Chicago when they were supposed to, when they claimed to have seen something. Okay, so the halacha is, v'asisam lo kasher zamam. So if they testify and they try to be mechayev somebody else money, then they have to pay the money themselves. So that's number five on the list. V'ones, and somebody who Rachman al-Islan rapes a woman, v'amafata, and somebody who seduces a woman. And so let's just pause here. So this is number 6 and 7. So Rashi points out ones and mafata. It said chamishim kesef by ones, says Rashi, and by mafata it says kesef yishkol kamor habesulos, that he has to pay an amount of kesef kamor habesulos. And we darshan from there that the mafata has to pay the same amount of kesef as the ma'anes. We are going to discuss in the Gemara why these are on the list. If later on in the Gemara we're going to say that we're counting only things which are mamon and not things which are knas, this feels a lot like a knas, right? Because when you're ones a mafata, a woman, you have to pay 50 shekel. It doesn't seem to matter what type of woman it is, what you did to her, you know, or whatever. So we're going to explain why these are on the list, why these have a din of mamon. Okay, so this was number 6 and 7. Then about Mosi Shemra, if a person is Mosi Shemra, meaning he marries a woman and then he claims that she's not a basula, then he has to pay 100. Vametame, and one who is metame, somebody else's truma, vametame, and one who mixes truma with chulin. And the problem with mixing truma with chulin is that you're causing damage to the person who owns the mixture. Why? Because the only type of buyer who is eligible to buy this mixture and then actually use it as a kohen, because you've mixed truma into chulin. So you cannot sell it to a regular Yisrael, you can only sell it to a kohen. Because you can only sell it to a kohen, you're sort of a captive, you're selling only to a smaller universe of people, and therefore you're going to make less money on the sale. V'menasech, and somebody who is menasech, somebody else's yayin. So yayin esach is yayin that the libation for Avodah Zarah is performed. And Rashi points out that we're not talking about that you do damage with yayin esach. We're not talking that you take a pitcher of yayin esach and you pour it over somebody's silk clothing, for example, because that's not considered to be vamenasech. That's if you do damage with liquid. But menasech over here literally means the damage of being menasech somebody else's yayin. So the Mefarshim over here struggle with why exactly would you be chayiv if you're menasech somebody else's yayin. There is a principle in halacha called kamlei b'derabamine, that you only give somebody the more stringent of the two punishments. So if he's liable for two punishments, we only give him the most stringent one. We don't give him the more lenient one. We know that menasech is, you are menasech yayin la'avodah zarah. We know what the punishment for avodah zarah is. The punishment is that you're chayiv misa. So why is it that you're going to be chayiv mamon, that you're going to be chayiv nezek for being menasech somebody else's yayin? So the Rishonim explain, because this is a famous chiluk, because you are chayiv the mamon for causing the damage the second you pick up the yayin. However, you're not chayiv misa for avodah zarah until you're actually menasech the yayin. So you're chayiv the mamon an instant before you're chayiv benafsho, you're chayiv on your life for actually performing the avera of avodah zarah. Okay, so over here we had a list of 11 vahani tlesar, and the 13 that were in Rav Yoshia's list ha esrim v'arba. So that's 24. Says the Gemara, great. Rav Yoshia, my time alo tani hani. So why did Rav Yoshia only learn a list of 13? Why didn't he learn Rav Chiya's list of 24? Says the Gemara, but mamona kamayri b'knas alo kamayri. Ah, okay, so the reason that he didn't list all these things is because he only counts payments which are payments of mamon. He does not count payments which are payments of knas. Now, what Rashi is going to tell us again is that whenever you are mishalem the value of what you damaged, that's considered mamon. Whenever you have to pay in excess of the value that you damaged, or whenever you have to pay a fixed amount for the damage that you caused, that's an earmark of a knas, because mamon means only the value of what you've done. Knas means either more or less or a fixed amount, but it's not tied to the value of what you did. So again, that's the basis for Rav Hoshea's distinction. He's only counting things which are mamon. He's not counting things which are knas. Says the Gemara, Gana v'gazlan de mamonahu, listening. What about Gana v'gazlan? Forget about kefil and tashlumei dala v'chamisha, because we said that kefil is already a knas. But how about the Gana or the gazlan who admit themselves that they stole? They have to pay only the value of that which they stole. So the value of that which they stole is mamon. So why don't we list the ganav and a gazlan? So says the Gemara, because haktani le shomer chinam vashoel. Because we already said, we already had the cases of shomer chinam and shoel. Of course, we had the cases of shomer chinam and shoel, but that's when somebody is watching something for somebody else and that thing is damaged. That's not a case of ganav and gazlan. Says Rashi, yes, it is, because over there, gneva and gazela is also shayich, because we could be talking about a case where the shomer is asked for the object, to return the object that he's guarding, and the shomer says, oh, I can't return it to you because it was stolen. And it turns out that he really stole it. And the Gemara says that toin tanas ganav is kaganav, and toin tanas gazlan is kagazlan, that if he claims that it was stolen and it wasn't really stole, rather, he's a ganav himself. So therefore, when we list the various shomrim, that is like listing a case of geneva or gezela. Rashi points out that when we say shoel, shoel is lavdafka, because the shoel is chayiv in everything, even geneva and gezela, right? So the shoel doesn't benefit if somebody borrows something and then the owner of the object asks the shoel back for the object, and the shoel says, oh, it was stolen from me, I can't give it to you. That doesn't work, because he's chayiv to make restitution anyway in that case. But a shomer chinam or shomer socher or socher might say, in response to the request to return the object, he might say, I can't do it because I don't have it anymore, it was stolen. But if he really stole it, he's going to have to pay. So that's very similar to ganav and gazlan. That's why Rav Hoshea didn't have to list ganav and gazlan. Says the Gemara of Rabbi Chiya, Nami, Hotanar le shomer chinam vashoel. But then we ask the kasha on Rabbi Chiya, it's redundant. Why did Rabbi Chiya have to list ganav and gazlan in his list if we already yesterday learned Rav Hoshea's brisa, which included shomer chinam and a shoel? Says the Gemara, Tana mamona da asili yade beteira, vaktana mamona da asili de bisura. Because they're sort of like each other, but not exactly like each other. In other words, by a shomer, when he took the object, he took the object with permission. He was supposed to be watching the object. It turns out that at the end, when he uses the object for himself, and then the owner claims the object back, and the shomer says, oh, I can't give it to you, it was stolen, now already he's acting in an inequitable way. But at the outset, he was acting in a perfectly permissible way. However, a ganav and a gazlan are people who are acting inappropriately the entire time. The item came into their possession inappropriately through Isser. So they're sort of similar, but they're not exactly similar. That's why Rav Chiya will learn ganav and gazlan. Says the Gemara, Edim Zomamim, back to asking questions on Rav Hoshea. Edim Zomamim de Mamonahu, but Edim Zomamim, which is a payment of money, listeni, Rav Hoshea should list that in his brayse. And again, Rashi over here just reinforces the klal that any time a person pays the amount of damage that he caused, it's mamon. Whenever a person pays more than that, or whenever a person pays a fixed amount, then it's a knas. And by Edim Zomamim, it says, Vasisim lo, Kasher Zomam, Lasos Liachav. He has to pay exactly what he intended to do. So that sounds like mamon. That doesn't sound like knas. Says the Gemara, Sever lo, Rabbi Akiva, Damar Emesh Alman al Piyatzman. No, because he holds like Rabbi Akiva, who says that Edim Zomamim, if they come out and they say, you know what, we didn't really see anything. We're really Edim Zomamim. We were testifying falsely. We were trying to be Mechayev, the guy. So they're moda that they're liars. They're moda that they're Edim Zomamim. Rabbi Akiva says they don't have to pay Al Piyatzman. They don't pay if they admit that they were Edim Zomamim. What else did we already say that you don't pay Al Piyatzmo? Moda Beknas, Potter. So if Rabbi Akiva is going to say that Edim Zomamim, who are moda that they're Edim Zomamim, don't pay, it turns out that Edim Zomamim is very similar to Knas. So the reason that Rav Hoshea doesn't list Edim Zomamim in his brisa is because he holds that Edim Zomamim is a Knas. But says the Gemara, E Savar Lake Rabbi Akiva, if he holds like Rabbi Akiva, he's got to be consistent. Listni Trey Gavne Shar. Why doesn't he count two types of shar in his list? Because again, what Rav Hoshea did, the way he got to 13, was that he had the four in our Mishnah plus an additional 9. So came Rav Chiya and added an additional 11. But again, Rav Oshia was basing his count on the four that were mentioned in our Mishnah, which were Shor, Bar, Mave, and Hever. But if he's holding like Rabbi Akiva, which is why he doesn't include Edim Zomimim on his list, he should also break up Shor into two, because there are two different types of category. There are two categories, rather, two different types of Nezek payments when a Shor damages something. Listni Shor da'azik Shor, v'listni Shor da'azik Adam. He should list a Shor that damages another Shor and a Shor that damages a person. Why would I make a distinction? The Gemara says, Ditnan, Rabbi Kiva Omer, af tam shechovel ba'adam, a shor tam who is chovel a person, mishalem b'mosar nezek shalem. He has to pay b'mosar nezek shalem. So what exactly is this case talking about? So for this, we need Rashi. So Rashi says that there is a chiluk between a shor who damages a shor where he pays only chatzi nezek, right, until he becomes a shor muad, he only pays chatzi nezek, whereas if a shor damages a person, he's going to have to pay nezek shalem. But what does it mean he has to pay nezek shalem? We said over here that he has to pay nezek shalem b'mosar. So Rashi says, let's say a person and a shor get into a collision, right? So when a person gets into a collision with anything, if you get into a fender bender, most of the time there's damage to both vehicles. So over here, you have a person who gets into a collision with a shor, so there's going to be damage to both parties. So Rashi says, im chaval adam b'shor tam, v'tam ba'adam. And so they get into an accident with a shor tam. This shamu based in chavala shechaval shor ba'adam yoser mechavala shechaval adam b'shor, mishalem b'lashor oso odeif out of nezek shalem. So in other words, let's say an example like this. Let's say the person gets into a collision with a shor tam, and the person causes $100 worth of damage to the shor. The shor causes $150 worth of damage to the person. So the 100 is offset against the 100, but now we have $50 more that the Bala Shor owes to the person. So even though this is a Shor Tam, and even though if a Shor Tam gored another Shor, you would only have to pay Chasi Nezek, over here the halacha is, according to Rabbi Kiva, he has to pay the difference, Nezek Shalem. So why don't we list two types of Shor? Because there are two different types of damages that the Shor is going to be chayv to pay, depending on whether he gores an other animal or whether he gores a person. Says the Gemara, because Hatavre Rabbi Akiva Ligzize, because Rabbi Akiva already blunted his own ruling, Detanya, because we learned that Rabbi Akiva Omer Yachol Aftam Shechovel Ba'adam Yishalim Min Alya, that I might think that if a Tam is Chovel Ba'adam, he has to pay Min Alya. Min Alya literally means from the best, but whenever the Gemara here says Min Alya, it means that the owner of the Shor has to pay from his other assets the amount that he owes to the other party. Tamalomar Yaselo Migufa Mishale Vena Mishale Mina Alya. So Kamash Malan, that he pays only Megufo and not from and not Me Alya. So in other words, again, in the hypothetical that we were talking about, let's say the person gets into a collision with a shor, person causes $100 worth of damage, shor causes $150 worth of damage, the 100 offset each other, the shor has to pay the person an extra 50. The Bala Shor has to pay the person an extra 50. What happens if the shor is only worth $125? So there's not an extra $50, there's only an extra $25. So the halacha is that the person is stuck. He cannot collect from the owner of the shor more than the value of the shor itself. That's called megufo, as opposed to mealya, means that the owner would have to pay from the rest of his nechasim. So it comes out that even according to Rabbi Akiva, the rule that the person who is gored by a shor tam gets nezek shalim b'mosar is not the hard and fast rule. It's not a universal rule. Yes, he only gets nezek shalim b'mosar when the shor is worth enough money, when the shor is valuable enough. But when the shor is not valuable enough, he does not get nezek shalim b'mosar, and therefore we're not going to count that on our list. We're not going to break shor into two, even if Rav Yoshia holds like Rabbi Akiva. So says the Gemara now, asking, continuing on the list that Rav Chiya brought, and asking, how come Rav Yoshia doesn't count those items on the list? Says the Gemara, Ones v'mafata v'motzi shemra d'mamonahu. Aye, what about Ones v'mafata motzi shemra, which is mamon? So Rashi points out that what do you mean it's mamon? We had just said that Ones v'mafata, you paid a $50 fine. So the $50 fine seems like just that. It seems like a $50 fine, which is a knas. So Rashi says, yeah. The $50 that you pay is a knas, but you also pay a payment of pagam. In other words, you assess what the woman would have been worth had she been sold on the slave market, had she not been violated. You compare that with what the woman is worth on the slave market having been violated, and you have to pay the difference to the father of the woman. So it turns out that there is a mamon payment, associated with Ones v'mafata. Tosfa says that even though the Gemara says Motzi Shemra over here as well, that's Lav Dafka. Motzi Shemra, the $100 fine is Stam Knas. That's definitely not Mamon. But the Kasha that the Gemara is asking is, what about Ones v'mafata, where you also have to pay Pagam? We should have added that to the list that Rav Yoshia gave us. So says the Gemara, Manafshach, Inezek, well, what is it? It's got to be something, right? So Inezek, if it's damages, Tani Lei, we already said Nezek. That's included in Rav Yoshia's list. Was Nezek Tsar, Ripushev is Boshes. Itzar, if it's Tsar, Tani Lei. Iboshes, if it's a humiliation payment, Tani Lei. Ipagam, which is what we just explained, Rashi said it is, then Hainu Nezek, then Pagam is Nezek. So Mais, L'chala Meimar, so in other words, I covered my bases regardless. So Elamai, what is it? Knasa, it's a Knas. Biknas lo kamayri, so we don't count knas. In other words, what the Gemara is saying is that it's true that in addition to the 50 shekel fine, you have to pay a pagam payment. You have to pay the differential between what she would have been worth on the slave market before and what she's worth on the slave market now. But that payment, pagam, is a form of nezek. We already listed nezek on Rav Yoshia's list. So the only additional thing to capture is the 50 shekel payment. The 50 shekel payment is a knas, and Rav Yoshia doesn't count knas. Okay, says the Gemara Navaiter, Hametame Vamedame Vamenasech, that what about Metame, a person who's Metame, somebody else's Truma, Vamedame, somebody who mixes Truma with Chulam, Vamenasech, somebody who's Menasech Yayin Labodazara, that's the Mamono, he has to pay for the damage that he caused his friend for the item that he is ruining. So listen, so why doesn't Rav Yoshia list those items in them in his Brisa? Says the Gemara, because Manafshach, I Hezek Shein Nikker, Shmei Hezek, if Hezek Shein Nikker is called Hezek, then Tani Le Nezek. Then we already learned Nezek in Rav Yoshia's list. I Hezek Shein Nikker, Lo Shmei Hezek, if Hezek Shein Nikker is not considered to be Hezek, Havile Knasa, then it's considered to be a Knas, Uve Knasa, Lo Kamairi, and he's not, and Rav Yoshia doesn't include things which are a Knas in his list. So says the Gemara, so it's obvious then that Ksava Rav Chia, Hezek Shein Nikker, Lo Shmei Hezek. So obviously Rav Chia holds that Hezek Shein Nikker is not considered to be Hezek. Hezek Shein Nikker is when you damage an item, but facially, but superficially, the item appears exactly as it did before. Such as, for example, if you're Menasech Yayin, L'Avodah Zarah, a person has a barrel of wine, the barrel of wine still looks like the barrel of wine, LMI, now you mixed it around a little bit, so you moved it for Avodah Zarah, so you asser the wine, but it looks the same. Same thing with the produce. If you're metame somebody's truma, the truma produce looks the same, but it's been damaged in a way that's not facially, that's not superficially apparent. But again, what we said is the reason that Rabbi Yoshia doesn't count these things on his list is because he's in Mamanafshach. If Hezek Shein Nikker is called Hezek, I already listed Hezek. If it's not called Hezek, it's got to be a Knas, and I don't deal with Knas. So we must prove that Rabbi Chia, who does list them, must hold Hezek Shein Nikker is Lav Shmei Hezek. Why? Di Shmei Hezek, Atana Le Nezek. Because if he did say that Hezek Shein Nikker is called Hezek, why would he have to list Hametame Vamedame Vamenasek? He already listed Nezek, so it would be double counting. Says the Gemara, no, he would still list it. Even if he holds that Hezek Shein Nikker or Shmei Hezek, he would still count it again. Why? Because Tana Hezek Deminkara Vatana Hezek Dilo Minkara. Because he will teach us both a case of Hezek which is apparent and a case of Hezek which is not apparent. Says Tosfos, okay, that explains why he had to teach me one of them. But why did he have to teach me all three of them? So Tosfos says there were certain things that always appear together. We've already seen two of them in today's shiur, if we've been paying attention, right? They are Shomer Chinam, Shomer Sachar, Asokar, Vashoel, even though we said earlier that Shoel didn't really belong in that grouping. Ones Mefate Motzi Shemra, even though Tosva said that Motzi Shemra didn't belong in that grouping. Havir, we have Vametame, Vamedame, Vamanasech, even though you don't necessarily need to teach us all of them. Okay, so the Shas always brings them down together. So says the Gemara, Bishlam Alatana Didan, I understand our Mishnah, Tana Minyana Lemutzid Rav Yoshe, it's got to say Arbavas Nezikin, because we have that Brice of Rav Yoshe out there that says that there were 13. So if we want to drill down and say there were only four, that's where our Mishnah gives us a numerical listing. Rav Yoshe, Tana Minyana Lemutzid Rav Chi, and Rav Yoshe, for his part, has to say 13 to exclude from Rav Chi, because Rav Chi had said that there were 24. Ela Minyana Rav Yoshe Lemute Mai. But why does Rav Chiya have to say 24? In other words, the Gemara always asks this question. I'm able to count, even though 24 is a pretty large number, more than fingers and toes. Okay, but we could still handle it, right? So why does he list the number of items in his brisa if there's nobody who says there are more than 24? So he's not excluding from anybody else's shita. No, because he is excluding things. Says the Gemara, "My limute moser umafagel." It's to exclude a case of moser and a case of mafagel. Moser, Rashi points out, is like a miser, like a guy who's malshin mamon chaveru lovei kachavim. A person, let's say, he knows that lovei kachavim are looking for somebody else's money, and he tells the guyish tax collector, "Oh, you could look over there. Look in my neighbor's backyard. That's where he hides his money." So that's a moser. And mafagel is, let's say, the person who's causing the damage is a kohen that somebody is bringing a karban chatas, and this kohen has in mind when he's bringing the karban chatas that it shouldn't be a chatas, it should be a shlamim. So a chatas which is hukrav l'shem shlamim is worthless, and the guy has to bring another karban chatas. So the kohen causes damage by bringing the animal with a pigul intent. So says the Gemara, but listen, that's actually taka right. So now you've explained why Rav Chiya has to say 24. It's to exclude Moser and Mefagel. But why doesn't he list Moser and Mefagel on it? Why doesn't he include them on his list? Says the Gemara, Bishlama Mefagel b'kachim lo kamayri. He doesn't include Mefagel because he's not dealing with kachim. Ela Moser my time alo. Why doesn't he list Moser on his list? Moser my time alo Tani. Says the Gemara, Shani Moser didibura uvidibura lo kamayri, because the only thing that you're doing when you're Moser, when you're Malshin al Chavero, when you tattle on somebody to the Goyish authorities, you're only speaking, and we're not dealing with things that relate only to speech. Says the Gemara, no, Vamosi Shemra didibureyu viktani. One of the things on the list was Moshe Shemra. Moshe Shemra is when you go to Basin and say, "Hey, I married this woman and I didn't find the Basulim." That's speech. So we do list things which relate only to speech. Says the Gemara, Dibura Dispe Maisahu. No, that's a Dibur which has a Maisa. What type of Maisa are we talking about? So Rashi, so this is Machlokas Rashi Tosfos. Rashi says the Maisa is Be'ila. That, in other words, in order to come to Basin and say, "I didn't find a Basulim in your daughter," you have to have committed a Maisa Bia and then come to Basin. So there is a Maisa that you're doing. Tosfos says, no, we're not talking about the Maisa Bia. We're talking about hiring witnesses to come and say, "Oh yeah, he showed me the sheet and there was no Dam Basulin." So in other words, in order to be Motzi Shemra, Tosfos is focusing on the act of being Motzi Shemra. Of course, it's true, there had to be a predicate act of Bia, but that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about in the act of being Motzi Shemra, you are you have to hire Edom as well. So the Gemara of Edom Zomimim, Dibur Delesle Maisu, Viktani, I Edom Zomimim is only speech, they're only testifying, so it's a Dibur, there is no Maisa, and that's listed on the list, so why doesn't he list also Moser? Says the Gemara, Hasam Afagab Delesle Maisu, Rechmana Karye Maisa, Dechziv, Asisim Lo, Kasher Zomim, La Sos Liachid. You're right, that's only Dibur, that's only speech, it's only testimony, but the Torah is the one who calls it Maisa, and therefore we appropriately list Edim Zomimim on Rav Chiya's list. Says the Gemara, Vishlam Latani Didan, Avos Mechlal Dika Toldos. I understand, Aratana, there were Avos, we said there were also Toldos, right? We had said For example, the tolda of regel is a person who ruins somebody's fruits. The tolda of keren is a char that rubs itself against a wall and damages a wall or something like that. Elul Rabbi Chiya of Rabbi Yoshia, avos mechlal dika toldos to the same maininu. But according to Rabbi Chiya and Rabbi Yoshia, they list 13, 24. What are the toldos of these, of all of these categories? So says the Gemara, Amar Avavo, Kulon ka Avos, the Shalem me Meitab. No, no. What it means is that they're all like Avos, and that we are, and that we are Meshalem me Meitab. In other words, what the Gemara is saying is, Ena Chinami, the fact that if we list 13 or 24 doesn't mean that there were more subcategories. What it means is that for all of these things, they have the same halacha as the avos, that we have to pay mi meitav sadeyu, that he has to pay from the best of his assets. So my time, how do we know that by all of these things which are mentioned, you have to pay mi meitav? So asya tachas nesina yeshalem keset, because he learns that gzeira shava with one of four words, either tachas nesina yeshalem keset. There's a very long Rashi. We're not going to read the whole thing. But let's read the first couple of lines inside, because that will then help us illustrate very quickly what the Gemara here is talking about. So if you look in the Rashi, it's the first of the medium-sized line, Tachas Nesina, the Bechuluk Siv, because by all of these lists of 24 things, in other words, remember that we had said that an Av is anything which is referenced expressly in the Chumash. So the Bechuluk Siv, O Achas, Tachas, either it says Tachas, Begarmina Tachas, Tachas, Meshor Muad, and we make Xer Rishava Tachas, Tachas, Meshor Muad, Dechsiv Ve Shor, Tachas, Shor, Ma'asa Mimetav, just like by a Shor Muad, you have to pay Mimetav Sadeu, Degummer Mishem Varegel, because we learn from Shem Varegel, Dechsiv Ve Metav Sadeu, Afkan Metav, Shembal Shalem, Karkal and Izak, Pishvilazeko Magbia Mine Idis, because if he wants to pay from Karka instead of paying with money, instead of paying with currency, he has to pay Mine Idis, which is from the best produce. So either we make Xer Shava Tachas, Onesina, or we make Xer Shava Nesina, Vagamar, Nesina, Nesina, Meshar Shanaga Chasa Eved, from Meshar Shanaga Chasa Eved, Dechsiv Be Yitain La Donav, and we know that he has to pay me Metav, O Yeshalem, or this is Xer Shava Yeshalem, Vagamar, Meshem Varegel, Dechsiv Be Metav Karma Yeshalem, O Kesef, Vagamri Mebar, Dechsiv Be Kesef Yoshiv Labalav. And says Rashi, now we're not going to read the rest inside, but from these four primary categories, we can learn the rest, because all of the things mentioned in Rav Chiya's Braisa, either include the words Tachas Nesina Yeshalem Kesef. So from there we know that you have to pay from all of this damage. You have to pay for all of this damage, rather, Mimetav Sadeyu, from the best of his produce. Okay, says the Gemara now Viter. So at the two dots, just a couple of lines up from the bottom of Hey Yamed Aleph. So Lo Arei Ashor Karei Amave. So we had said in our Mishnah that there were four Avos Nezikin, and each one is unlike the other. It's distinct from the other in a certain way. So says the Gemara, my Kamar. So Amar Rav Zvid, Mishmei Derava Achi Kamar Lichta Rachmana Chada, V'teisi Yidach Mina, Hadar Amar Chada Michada Lo Asya. So the Gemara is basically saying, this is like a strange game that the Mishnah is playing. It's like there are four things. One of these things is not like the other. It's like what we used to play on Sesame Street. So what's this all about? So the Gemara is saying, because the Mishnah wants to teach me that I needed the list of all four. Because had I not gotten all four, I wouldn't have known to learn one from the other. Okay, so then the Gemara says, V'lo zev v'zeh sheyesh b'em ruach chayim. But then the Mishnah even goes into further detail and says, oh, the two of these things are not like the other, because the shar and the adam have a ruach chayim, but the esh doesn't have a ruach chayim. So says the Gemara again, my Kamar, what's going on here? So I'm a Rav Misharsha, Mishmei Derava, because says Rav Misharsha, Mishmei Derava, Hachi Kamar, Lichtav Rachmana, Tarte, Vitesei Idach Minayu, let the Torah write two of them, and then we can learn the others from those two. So Hada Amar, Chada Mitarte Lo Asya. So the Mishnah tells us that we also can't learn one from two that would have been mentioned in the Mishnah. So which of the two should we have mentioned? So over here we need Rashi. So Rashi says that we could have learned Shar and Maveh, and we could have learned Eish from those two. Because if you want to say that V'chi Parachta, says Rashi, Mala Keren Sheish Kavanosu Lahazik, I can't learn anything from Shor, which is Keren, because by Keren the animal has Kavana to be Mazik, Iklamemar Shein Tochiach. Because you could say Shein Tochiach. This is again according to the Shito, says that Mava means Shein. So Mala Shane Sheish Hana Lazeko, aye, but what about Shane that that there is Hana that the animal has when it damages with Shane? So Karen Yochiach, so Karen Yochiach. So by Karen there is no Hana. Ularav the Amar Mava is a Adam, but what about the Shita of Rav? That was the Shita of Shmuel. What about the Shita of Rav who says that Mava is a person? So Tesi Achi, Kiparakta, Mala Sharsha King Kabanasala Hazak, Tamar Ba Adam, Tamar Ba Aish, so Adam Yochiach, Shafilu ain't Kabanasala Hazak Chayev, that even if a person doesn't have Kabana to be Mazak, he's Chayev, the Chsiv, Kitnan rather, Adam Muad, Bain Ar, Bain Yashan, that a person is considered to be Muad, whether he's awake or whether he's sleeping. A person who's sleeping doesn't have Kavana to be Mazik. But then we say, Ah, Mala Adam Shechem Chayev Bar Vedvarim, how about a person, he's Chayev, and not only Nezek, but also Tsar, Ripu Sheves Boshes, Shur Yochiach, Hatzad Hashava Shebem, Shedarkan Lahazik, Shmirosan Alecha, Afani Avi Eish. So the common thread between Shur and Adam is that they are prone to do damage and you have to watch them. So too, Eish, I should include it. So says Rashi again, explaining what the Gemara says. Now he said, no, you cannot learn one from the other two. Delori Karen Umave Sheish Bom Ruach Chayim Kare Eish. That's why the Gemara says that no, because by Shor and Mave, whether you say that Mave is Shane or whether you say that Mave is Adam, they have a Ruach Chaim, they're alive, they're living beings. So I cannot learn Eish, which is an inanimate object, from these other things which are animated objects. Okay, so says the Gemara, Amarava Vakulu, however, all of these things, Kishadis Bar Beinayu, if you include Bar in the group of two, Asya Kulub Amat Sad, you could learn everything with a Amat Sad, Levar Me Karen, except for Karen, Mishum the Ikalamifrach, Malakulu Shekain Mu'adam Itchilasan. Because we could ask that Karen is unlike the others, because again, by Karen, at first you only Chayev Chatzi Nezek until the fourth goring, that's when you start being Chayev and Nezek Shalem. Everything else is Mu'ad Mitchilasan. The first time it causes damage, you have to pay Nezek Shalem. So Rashi over here goes through everything. With apologies, Michal, we're not going to go through the whole Rashi. But what Rashi says is basically that he set up the case so that the things that we were trying to prove from Matzad were Shor and Mave. And he said, oh, Shor and Mave, I can't learn anything else because those are two animate objects and I can't learn an inanimate object from an animate object. The Gemara points out, yeah, but if he would have learned Shor and Bar instead of Shor and Mave, then I could have learned Eish. Because then Rashi points out, we don't have time to go through the whole thing, but Shor is Darka Lahazik. What about Bar? The Bar is also Darka Lahazik. Oh, the Shor is, he gets Hana. Or, either right, he gets Hana. The Bar doesn't get any Hana. Yeah, but the Bar from the beginning of its creation is supposed to be there to cause damage. And if you introduce Bar, which is also an inanimate object, then I could learn Eish. The only thing I can't learn is Karen, because Karen is unlike everything else, because Karen, I'm Chayev Nezek Chatzi Nezek, until the third goring, I'm only Chayev Nezek Shalem on the fourth goring. Says the Gemara, Ulamandi Amar Adaraba Karen Adifa, Shekavanoso Lahazik, but according to the Mandemar, it says that Karen is stronger because it also has Kavana to be Mazik, Afilu Karen Nami Asya, that I could also learn Karen from everything. Elolamai Hilksa Kasvinu Rachmana. In that case, why does the Torah tell me everything over here? In other words, according to the Manamor, who says that I can learn Karen from a Ma'atzad, from Shor and Bar, or Mave and Bar, or anything including Bar, why does the Torah have to teach me Shor, Bar, Mave, and Ever? So says the Gemara, it's to teach me the specific halachos that apply. L'chosein, Rashi says that there were certain halachos that apply to each one, which don't apply to the other. Tosva says that, forgetting about the specific halachos that apply, we needed to teach me each of these, because Tosva says without it, I would have thought that you're not chayev for damaging kalim, because the halacha is that if an animal falls into a pit, you're going to be chayev for the damage.
If kelim fall into a pit, you're not going to be chayav for the damage. So therefore, I might have thought that if a person or for sure damages kelim, they'd be potter. And Tosfos also points out, you need to write all them because the halach is by eish, you're chayav only for that which is exposed in the field that the fire burns up. If there's something that's hidden in the field that the fire burns up, you're not chayav. So Tosfos says, yeah, it's not only to teach me these halachas, but I wouldn't have known that you're chayav for everything had the Torah not written these four things expressly in the Psukim. So let's stop here. Tomorrow, we are going to talk about the various halachos that we would not have known had the Torah not written these four avos of Nezikin separately. So we'll see those halachos tomorrow. Hope everybody has a wonderful day.